Tonight's our open prophetic mic night, and he'll just provide some background music. And so we're not done worshiping in the sense that we may just sit in the presence of the Lord. And if nobody's sharing or speaking, that's okay. And I'm going to pray for you, so don't fear that. I know sometimes I remember a time when that's the last thing I thought sounded like fun, being alone with my own thoughts. But praise God for freedom. Praise God for things like that passivity worksheet and all the worksheets that we can go over and over again. And shalom peace is something that is God, that comes from God, and is a promise and a birthright to his children. We are safe in his arms. And so that's another kind of theme that came out as we worshiped. I want to pray over us that you are safe. You are safe in him. You are safe with his people. And this is a place of peace. So we have just one announcement. James, did you want to come and talk about the World Vision collection you're doing? World Vision every year around Christmas lets us sponsor, and depending how much money we raise, you sponsor an animal in a third world country. And I think we're up to guinea pig about now. No, I don't know. We're almost to a goat, which, by the way, a goat is a very useful animal. It's actually the most common animal in third world countries. Yeah, because you can, I am one that used to raise dairy goats, so I know the concept there. So yeah, it's very utility animal. But James, you want to tell us what we're doing?
Yeah, so last year I did some things with Tiffany about World Vision. I sponsored a child, so now I get little catalogs and magazines from them. And about this time of year, they send out a catalog to have people buy a goat. They can buy all the way from a cow down, basically. And it helps supply milk, eggs. Sometimes they sell the eggs for business. But they can make cheese, all kinds of different things. So last year, me and the dorms put money together, and we bought, I think we had a goat and a couple chickens. So, you know, we're trying to go bigger this year. So I'm putting whatever money we got from here and put it with theirs, and then we'll order it. So, yeah. So anybody wants to donate tonight, that would be a good time, because I know it's only going to be a window of time before we can send anything in. So yeah, I'll probably try to send it by next week. So yeah, anything and all will do.
Yeah, I'm proud of you, James. All right. I don't want to take a whole lot of time giving instructions or parameters for tonight, other than I'm going to stick this microphone back in the stand. And it's kind of, this isn't the right size holder for this. So if you can speak into it, the closer the better, so we can hear you. And I know that's a little intimidating, but please, it's important to your church family that we get the peace that you hold. And think of it in that way, because Scripture is very clear. Even the gift of prophecy, we hear in part, we see in part. None of us has the whole picture. And the Holy Spirit in you is the same Holy Spirit. There is only one Spirit, one baptism. And so I, you know, pray with a small group of leaders quite a bit throughout the year. I'm obviously praying and getting revelation that I can get. Much of it you get to hear, because as I get it, I turn around and it comes out in a teaching or a sermon. But I don't get to hear from you, and it's the same Holy Spirit. And you may think, well, I don't even know if this is revelation. I don't even know if it's even a piece. Well, again, you're with family and it's safe. So put it out there. Share it. Let us just kind of, at the end of the night, look at the big picture and see what emerges. So I think it's healthy for us as a church family. It's kind of weird if you had a large family and only one person talked, right? That wouldn't make sense. If you're from a large family, you probably realize everybody talks, and everybody talks all the time. So we do need to have a little bit of order, but I don't think that'll be a problem. You can line up. Now, when we did this in November, let me coach you just a little bit. I think some of you kind of waited to the last minute, and then we did have a line at the end, because I came up to try to close, and everyone's like, oh, So you can line up anytime and take turns, but even if you want to just give glory to God, by the way, that is totally appropriate and totally part of what we are mandated to do as a body of believers. Gather together. Some will have a spiritual song. Some will have a word. Some will speak in tongues. Some will interpret tongues. So again, the idea is that all of us as a body work together, submit what we have, and trust that God will use it. And every time we have done this, I have to say, not only have I been blessed, but God has used it in a very significant way. And I know when we did this in November, I was really struck with, wow, we're growing up. I mean, you know, that kind of happens, right? With children, it's like, you know, we've done this a couple times, and it's like, okay, well, you know, it was a blessing, but, you know, there seemed to be something very different this last November, and I just drove home thinking, God, thanks for the faith in this room. Thanks for the wisdom gifts, maturity. I know we speak a lot about the gift of prophecy, but of all the spiritual gifts, there's also gifts of wisdom and interpretation and application. And I don't know if you're aware, but those spiritual gifts are just as important as all the rest. So even though we tend to talk about one and maybe emphasize one, in no way are we de-emphasizing all of the others. So maybe it's not a prophetic word. Maybe it's thanksgiving. Maybe it's praise. Maybe it's wisdom. Maybe it's a verse, a scripture. Dave's going to stick around just to kind of give us some background music. And, you know, if more worship comes naturally, we'll just let it flow. But if not, again, I'm going to pray for us that we can just experience that shalom peace tonight. We can just sit in the presence of God, knowing that you are loved and knowing that you are loved. You know, my wife and I have been married 40 years, and you think, well, yeah, amen, thank you. You think, you know, what do you got to talk about after 40 years, right? You've probably talked about everything there is. Well, yes, I'm still surprised at the discoveries I make about my wife, who I thought I knew, you know, but still, 40 years later, there's discoveries, and it's fun, and it's exciting, it's revelation. Well, with God, think about this. We're going to have eternity, and we're still not going to understand everything there is about God. There's going to be more revelation. And God has worked very hard, by the way, to reveal himself to us. And so this is what I'm looking forward to tonight. Even more revelation. But back to the analogy about I and my wife, you know, knowing each other for so long, there are times when we don't have anything to talk about, but we just sit and we enjoy each other's company. And it gives me peace knowing that she's there, and I think it gives her peace knowing that I'm there. And that's the kind of peace I want you to experience tonight. So with that said, hopefully there's balance. Hopefully we get a chance to just share revelation, anything that the Lord would have on your heart. Again, literally open mic. Just come up and share. So let me pray for you, and then we'll open up. So Holy Spirit, you are a spirit of truth, and so we want everything bound to that truth. We say you are welcome here. Come, Holy Spirit. And we know you've already been ministering. And God, I know this time of year there's sickness, there's tensions, there's family restorations. God, I pray you would minister even tonight. and that there would be more answered prayer realized in very tangible ways tonight. Minister, Lord, rearrange us, restructure us. As we sing, God, purify us. You are that refiner that sits over us with such care, with such attention, like one refining fine silver, not wanting us to be bruised, certainly not wanting us to be burnt, but needing to get that dross out of us. So God, we thank you for your love for us, your care for us. We want even more revelation of you. So Lord, I pray you would use all of us. And together, God, we would have even more understanding. We would have even more joy. We would have even more peace. God, as much as we are able tonight, bring us closer to you. Minister to us, God, and draw us to you. God, we sign up for this. We expect this. Lord, we know that you have a heart of love and acceptance for us. So we are going to accept that truth and walk in it tonight. So Holy Spirit, minister through each one of us, but minister. Come. Come. Holy Spirit, come. And I pray this in Jesus' name.
Testing. Well, James Crimson, thank you for lifting up World Vision. I just want to say, you know, I've been working there for over a year, and what God has done for me working there is, you know, we can really get caught up in this world with all the things that we want and all the things that we think that we need. I'm just reminded of, you know, the old covenant ways and the new covenant. Jesus came and he set us free. We don't need to do anything. There's no works that we could do to get us anywhere. But when you do the things like James is asking you guys to do, it's amazing. I read a story because I work there that a village in Uganda got 28 goats and each family got 2. And there will be one male goat in the community so they can all reproduce. And they can have milk. And, of course, the chickens too, Desiree. There are chickens there. But anyways, what I'm saying is when we open our eyes to the other countries that are suffering, where these little kids are wearing one outfit a day, and it just brings us back to being humble that we have clothes in our closet, clean socks in our drawer. And we're so, so blessed. God loves us so much, and he wants us to remember this season that he loves us, and that he hears our cry, that he hears our desires on our heart. He is the one that put him there for us. And when we remember to give and to bless others, something happens. There's a spiritual transaction that happens. I've heard a few times that this coming year is 2020, the year of vision. So I just want to pray that over us, that we will have vision here at Fro, that we will have personal vision, that we will have a year that is filled with what God has called us for, what he has created us to be, that our visions would be glorious to God, and that we'd walk them out, that we'd have courage to walk them out. So I do pray that over us this year, that we have a vision that would please our Father in heaven. But not only that, I just wanted to also talk about, I was reading in Daniel today, and preparing my heart for the Daniel fast. And it's so interesting. This boy named Daniel was taken from where he lived. And what he did was just truly miraculous. He was able to stick with God even in the consequences of being thrown into the lion's den. And God is calling us to be faithful like that when, you know, we're sitting at a table full of all the select foods that, you know, God wants us to seek him first and to seek what God has for us. So if we could just be courageous like Daniel and remember that God would even save us from the mouths of the lion going into 2020, knowing that to be the people that God has called us to be.
I just wanted to share things that I either heard or thought during our songs when we were singing Trading My Sorrows. I heard, like, every sickness go. And then when we were singing Purify My Heart, I just kind of had this thought that, you know, there's like a voice that tells us your heart's desire is not to be, is not really to be holy. And I just wanted to say that that's a lie, that our heart's desire is to be holy because it's Jesus' heart in us. And I wanted to cast that spirit out. When we were saying there's none like you, I just thought that, you know, God would be in his rightful place in us. And then I just wanted to say, just in case there's like confusion about like, what is right to share, or if there's like lacking in confidence or thinking it's insignificant, I just wanted to cast that out in Jesus' name.
Since that seems to be a theme about this refining fire, what I was thinking of when I was speaking just a few minutes ago is out of Malachi chapter 3. And verse 3 says, he will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross. And that image is the Lord himself sitting over us, because when you refine silver, it's so precious, they pay attention because you could go too far and ruin it. So he sits over us, getting away all the impurities. And the refiner knows when it's done because the silver reflects his reflection. And so it's like Jesus saying, I'm turning us into his image. And the verses that go before that really are an image also that it's important to us to understand. Because you may think, man, who can do this? Who can, you know, stand like this? Who can really represent the Lord? You need to know that the Lord is proud of you. And he's looking for someone to go first and work through passivity worksheets, or, you know, just say, God, start with me. And that's in Malachi, the verse 2 says, but who will be able to endure it when he comes? Who will be able to stand and face him when he appears? For he'll be like a blazing fire that refines metal, like a strong soap that bleaches clothes. But then it says, he's the one that's in charge, and he'll sit over us with care and love, like a refiner of fine silver. I think it's one of the most courageous things I see here, is just you as followers of Jesus Christ being willing to go first. It's not saying we're perfect, we got a lot of dross, but God, I thank you for the men and women of Freedom River Outreach and their courage to say, God, start with me. My heart is to be made pure. So burn out everything that shouldn't be there until your reflection is what people see in my life.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Aaron, for the ones that don't know me. The refining of the silver. I've left the church before many times, and I come back. I try to come back stronger. I try to come back harder and more steadfast and more diligent, more thorough than I was before. We all make mistakes, but this is our chance. We don't know if tomorrow's promised or not, you know? I was scared to come up here. Sometimes we have to step outside of our norm to show him that we want it. It has to be something that you want. We want to win in sports when we're playing them. We want to win at work and be successful. We want to win in life and have the things that we desire in our hearts. We have to first put the love that he gives us into our mind, to our heart and our soul, and come to him unconditionally and be able to share that with others. And I appreciate you guys as a congregation. So.
I just want to give glory to God for all the outreaches that are in Freedom River. We have so many outreaches here. And if you want to do something for God and you're not sure of yourself, hook up with somebody else, because there is outreaches. You can go feed the homeless. You can go to the ladies' Bible study. They go to the jailhouse. They just have outreaches. They have the food bank. It's just over and over. There's places that you can reach out to people. And I really encourage you to do that. And then I want to say something. When I was about 35 years old, I had my second son. And shortly after that, I had Katie. And during that time, you all know, Christine was out doing meth. And she was doing meth all the time. And she would maybe come see me for a little bit on a holiday, you know, and get to leave and quit. She couldn't hang around very long. And sometimes she would come to church on Mother's Day. And she would sit there just being the most nervous thing, because she had her drugs on her. She couldn't leave them home or someone would steal them from her. So she was sitting there in church, and she had her drugs, and she just couldn't take it. And she'd get up and take out of church. And people would think, well, she didn't even stay with her mother. And I loved it. I was so thankful, because she still honored the presence of God. She still couldn't sit there like that in the church of God. And it took 22 years from that time till she got right with God. She's great now. She's a counselor for drug and alcohol. She's reaching out to people all the time. And God showed me something then. I could cry day and night for her. She was my baby. I was heartsick. I had guarded her all her life. And then this is what she chose to do. I could have just cried all the time, or I could trust him and live my life. I had two little babies. I had a husband. We had a life. We had churches. We were doing things for God. And so that's what I did. I still cried. There was times, you know, but I just trusted God. And when you can't reach your own children, reach somebody else's. I always pray, God, put someone in my children's life that they'll listen to. Because, you know, I can tell them all the time, and they can kind of like. But reach someone else's children. Reach someone else that doesn't have a mom. Reach someone else that doesn't have a hope. Whatever. And it can be the smallest thing when you reach out to somebody. It can be the smallest thing, and it just touches them right then. That's just what God wants you to do. Just continue to reach. You know the heartache, but just continue to reach.
just heard a burning, and maybe that's a heart for God. And when Pastor John was quoting the scripture, who can endure, I thought of the word strong, so I just wanted to share.
So Ezekiel 36:26 says, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put in a new spirit in you. I will take your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. I was in a situation recently where I was told I was sick, and I was told I was a lot of things, and I felt like that was the truth, because I've been told it my whole life, and recently I've been put in a position where it was believe that I was sick or be able to take care of everything and hold my life together, my home, and everything was falling apart, and I just hit my knees one day, and my toilet wouldn't stop running, and I was just like, God, like, the only person that can fix this toilet is my husband, and he's not here, and the toilet wouldn't stop running, and I just screamed, Jesus, and the toilet stopped running. And I know that might sound funny to people, but it was big in my life, because I realized at that very moment, whether my husband was in rehab or my son was in prison or I was here, Jesus can. In any other time of my life, I would have been like, you know what, is that your choice? And I'm going to leave because I have the right. I don't have the right. I have had a false sense of entitlement. I've had a false sense of what is right and what is wrong. And God doesn't make me to run. God has made me to stay. Even when it's so hard, I don't know what to do. So when I don't know what to do, I know God has put a spirit in me that is to do good and to stay. God has put a spirit in me that is not weak, that is strong. So, amen.
Hello, everybody. Man, it amazes me that Jesus loves a knucklehead like me. Yeah, I've been running from my original design for years now, and I received the Lord's forgiveness fully this time, and I no longer have to walk in that shame and guilt, and I got 24 days clean off of alcohol today, and today I'm making a stand. I'm making a stand for the Lord. He's the Lord over my life and the Lord over my family, and He's just really been doing amazing work inside of me. I've been getting into the Word a lot, and I have a passion inside of my heart that I haven't had before. I might have had it a little bit, but, you know, through the years I've been coming to church and falling and going coming to church and falling. You know, He's been building me up to the place where I stand today, and I'm standing today. I'm not running no more. And it just amazes me, like I said, that He just loves a knucklehead like me, you know. I thank you guys for all your prayers, and I mean, even over the years, like Marcia, I'm sure you prayed for me for how many years now, you know? John, I mean, it's time to take a stand, so I'm taking a stand today, and my original design, what Jesus Christ has for me. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. I'm here to tell you to tame your flesh and to keep your eyes open and your ears clear as to what is going to come at you. That happened to me. And I let my guard down. I had a situation with my son who claims to me that all I want to do is run back and forth to church. So I thanked him for noticing. And then I said, how dare you talk to me that way? I'm your mother, and no son of mine talks to me that way. I can't believe what you just said to me. Things got heavy in my house. Real heavy, heavy. The air was heavy. My heart was heavy. Everything was heavy. And then that night, I'm sitting in my green chair, Des. And my cat was on the table. And my dog was just sitting on the couch. But they were staring at each other. And I was in the middle. And the cat was going for a cat fight. And he was... So now I'm like... Chill out, you know, chill out. I got up out of my chair. I didn't see any more cats behind my chair like I thought I would. Like I expected there was going to be another cat there. There wasn't. And it continued. I got out of my chair twice. I said, knock off. I've got three cats, but I got a cat door, and they like to bring friends home. So I thought there was a genuine cat fight. So I said, all right, that's the second time I went and I laid down on the couch and my dog laid across my body, and that's something she just don't do. It's just not cool. Ted's still on the table and he's still growling. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I got up. And I walked behind my chair and I confronted him inside my house. I said to him, you are not invited here. And you are not welcome in my home. I serve one God, and you're not him. His name's Jesus Christ, and he's my Lord and Savior. You don't belong here. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now you will leave my house. As I open the door, I says, you go now. In the name of Jesus, get out of my house and be gone. And I closed the door gently, and he was gone. So the next day, it was peaceful. It was extremely peaceful there in my house. I was talking to God. I was talking to the Holy Spirit. There I was, in the same spot in my house. I came after Dennis the next day. And you always forget something. You always forget that something. You're not sure what it is, but you forget something in that other room. And I was walking through my house right behind my that big fat green chair I was sitting in where Satan was in the middle of my house. And I chased him away. I was standing there and I turned like this. And it was bright and it was white and it was trimmed in neon blue. And she took my breath away. As quick as I went, God, she went into my front door. And I believe that was an angel that God sent to me because the Holy Spirit was listening to me and he knew what I needed. He knew I needed comfort and he knew I needed peace in my house. And he came to me because I believe in him.
The word purify, and when she was saying that something is really heavy in her room, I heard it again. So
I think in the spring of this year I heard this verse from Job, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. And, you know, I don't like the book of Job. You know? But when I heard this verse, I started to pray about it. And then someone prayed for me at church, like in August. And she said the same thing. She said that God is bringing gold out of you. Amen. And I started to read the book of Job, and it was not about going through trials, as I saw it before, but it's mostly showing us that we have entitlements. And as Desiree said, we don't have rights. Sometimes we think, I have a right. I have a right to escape the pain and run into my comfort. I have a right not to forgive. I have a right to do this or not to do this. But God is after our hearts, not our rights. And so as we come into 2020, let's just surrender. And let's not despise his disciplining, because it's for our good. He's bringing beauty for ashes and joy for mourning. But it's not possible unless you go through the ashes, unless you go through the mourning and crying. And let's not waste pain. We can waste pain and then encounter it again and again and again, or we can use it and we can collaborate with Holy Spirit and use the whole pain to just, okay, God, here I am. Take it all. If it's painful, let's just use it for all the things that needs to come out. And he's there with us in the process. As a loving father, he will never give us more than we can handle. And I just want to pray for our hearts to be open, to hear his voice and surrender. And it happens when we sit in the silence, when it's not comfortable, when we don't know when he will speak. But it's just waiting on him and worshiping him and just sitting there, being willing and being available vessels. And so, Lord, we want to see the gold that you see in us, that you put in us before the creation of this world, before we came into being, you already knew it, Lord. And I just pray, God, that this year we fully surrender, God, that we will not run away from you. We will not be up and down, God. We will not be despising your discipline and your chasing after us, God. We'll fully, fully run into your loving arms, knowing, God, that you are crowning us with your glory, and you want us to walk with head lifted up, God. You want us to be the answer. You want us to be filled with hope that overflows, God. You want us to be filled with joy that overflows, God, that does not depend on our emotions or our circumstances, but depends on confidence, knowing that you're good and you are God. You are good and you are God. You are with us. You are for us, God. No matter if it's painful, no matter if it's joyful, you are with us and you are for us. And God, I just pray that this year we'll discover this confidence of being your children, God, being your children, fully loved, fully known, God, not lacking anything, because you have given us everything for life and godliness, and you give us daily bread, and we don't have to worry what future holds, because you have it, God. You have it, Lord. And I just pray, God, for this hope that overflows, God, that is filled with just joyful expectation, God, of knowing that you're good and only you give good gifts, God. And a future with you is brighter than we can think. And you redeem the pain. You redeem the years that we wasted, God. You redeem everything, Lord God, as long as we are with you, God. And I just pray, God, for the heart of surrender right now in Jesus' name, for the heart of worship, to know you past our agendas, to know you past what we know of you, to know you, God, with open mind and open hands, God, and open heart, God. Come as you want to come, God. Ask as you what you want to ask, God. Refine us, Lord God. Refine us, Lord. refine us. Let our hearts be burning for you as your fire comes, God, to refine and destroy the impurities. Let it ignite the passion for you, God, the passion for your name, God, the passion for you, the passion to know you more, to love you more, the passion for others, Lord God. And all our agendas, God, they're nothing. And I just pray, God, the joy of love, just being your child, being your child and knowing, God, that you delight in us. Every morning, God, you look at us with smile. Every night, you watch over us, Lord God, and you are there, always there, God. And I just pray that this confidence, this intimacy will be a mark of this new year that we come in, Lord, in Jesus' name.
So as Galia was praying or sharing, I was reminded of a person in my life, and I felt like God wanted me to share something about that. I told him I needed something more to share, and I think he said he was going to lead me if I go up. So I guess I was just reminded that when a person continues to do wrong, I think in your heart you start to feel like you have a right because the person is doing wrong. But I don't think that's God's heart. I think he wants us to trust in him. Like you said, that he wants our heart, and I never really thought about that. I think I was just focusing on what is right and what is wrong, and that was like my protection. You know, if the person is wrong, then that's my protection. So then I have a right. But that wasn't really making God the Lord. And I was being the Lord. So I guess that's just something I just wanted to share. Maybe I'll say a short prayer. Thank you, Lord, for covering us even when we don't see our own sins. I pray that you will help us to see the things where we are wrong, even when we can't see it, Father, that you will give us your eyes, Lord, because that's what we truly desire. We want to be healed. We just can't see it sometimes, and we hold on to the wrong things, Lord. But our heart's desire is to make you king, is to make you Lord. So come into those places, Lord, and help us just to confess our sins today and receive the healing that you really want to give us. And thank you for your forgiveness for us, Jesus.
Well, most of you guys know me. I'm Rooster. I know Dennis and Pastor. I've been here before several times, but I've been gone a long time. And I've been to a lot of churches in my life along the way, my struggles and my trials against the devil every time. I lose a brother 3 years ago, and then I was down from nobody, from being an alcoholic to a drug addict to somebody today. So I thank God for everything he does in my life, especially my family right here, the Menards. You know, when I didn't have a home, they took me in. It made me feel like I was welcome, like I'm theirs, and I want to thank that for them. And I just want to be home, because I've been to a lot of churches, and nobody has the love like I have this church right here. We have a lot of love right here, and I feel it right now. And that's what Jesus says, man. You come as you are, and I just come as I look, you know. How many Roosters get a CDLs in their life? So I don't know. I just thank God for that. Now I go across the country all the time, and every time I see a homeless person, I pray for them because I've been there. You never know. That could be Jesus is sitting there, see if I was on the right track or not. But I just want to thank God for the things that he's done in my life and everybody else. If there is a God, he is. He's right here right now, and I know he is, because we can just say it, amen. Can I get an amen up in here? Amen. All right.
This is going to blow all your guys' mind here. And I thank you all for doing it. And Ray, I know you are a cop, okay? I'm going to tell y'all, okay? I don't believe in subliminal, okay? The Holy Spirit revealed this to me a few weeks ago. Okay, I'm going to tell you what went down. okay, my wife called on me, okay? She was afraid, okay? Because just my talk, okay? I'm gonna kill this or that, or situations I put myself in my life, okay? I know you guys did it, and I know because you guys had to do color codes and all that. I can tell you the color codes. Purple is for Holly, because I do like Holly. Then you have blue, then you have the red, and then you have the white and all that. I can tell you this is all true. I mean, it's just all true. Well, I know this isn't accusations. This is from God. I know it's the truth. Okay, I can honestly say sure. It's just the truth. I'm just saying, I thank you guys for doing that because I know they were looking into me for certain things. You know what I mean? And the Lord revealed it to me, and so the Holy Spirit had me go through this. You know what I mean?
Okay, we'll just close with that. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Leland.
I just thank the Holy Spirit for his presence in here tonight. I thank you, Lord, that you cover us and that you love us, Lord. I thank you that we are so loved by you, God, and that we have these amazing friends and family in this place, God. Lord, as I was sitting there, you reminded me that when we take a moment and we spend time with our Creator in a special place in the morning or in the night, if we just take those times and those moments with you, that you are there with us, God, that even when we're busy, Lord, you know that you have me in the most busiest season of my life, and it is hard. It is tiring, but I would not be able to do that without you, Lord. So I thank you, God, that you remind me to get up even earlier than that alarm is supposed to, God, that you wake me up and you say, it's time to spend time with me, daughter. And God, when you do that, you give us that supernatural energy. So I want to encourage my brothers and sisters to take a moment to spend with the Creator of the world, the one that loves you so much. He cares about your every thought. And then just take a moment and go precept by precept, go line by line. Ask God, show me what you want me to learn today, God. Show me what you would want me to read in the Bible. Your word is alive and active, and it just brings down. It breaks walls. It breaks chains. Oh, Father, how you love us. Thank you, God, that you remind me and my brothers and sisters to spend time in your word, God. I just pray over us that we would remember to take time for you, because you are waiting. It says in your word that you stand at the door and you knock, and that you whisper, and that we're here, God. So wake us up. Wake up, O daughter Zion, and come into our hearts in that special place. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. God, we ask for favor over this place, God. We ask for revival in this place, God. That you would bring such a prime spot here in Tacoma to bring more brothers and sisters in here, God, that they would know the joy of the Lord, that they would be set free from the mind monsters and the chaos in our heads, God. We cast that out in Jesus' name. We say no to the enemy right now. We uncover our ears and uncover our eyes in Jesus' name, that we would be able to hear the Holy Spirit, the only one that loves us as much as you, God, that you are no condemnation. You will love us and you just want us to feel love. That we, like the refining, like John talked about refining, Lord, when you want us to look in a mirror and see the presence of God, that when we go into places that we are to resemble the love of Jesus, that we are to love the unlovable. Jesus, we just pray your love in this place, that you would go deep into our places that are just yucky, Lord, and that you would uncover them, unreveal them, Lord, and that we could just pray them away, God, in your presence, and we could sit in your presence. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place.
Amen. Well, just a little testimony here in a couple words. I got this Bible shortly after I got out of prison. And everything the world told me and did to me up until this time tore me down. But when I turned and opened this cover, I found life. I have been healed. I have been delivered. I've been set free. I have hope. I have a family. And I have purpose. But it says, and you know, God's not done with us yet. Okay? God is not done with us yet. But I'd like to read this. Because I find that the Lord uses so many things to show himself in his word. And I just want to claim this over us. This is out of John 1:12. It says, but all, to all means all. That means every single one of us. Who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. And as I read that, I received that. And as I received that, things started to change. Because I was starting to walk in who I was created to be. And each and every one of us are created and we're to be one of God's children. It says further on in John chapter 1:32, it says, John testified, I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven, resting upon him. Now he used the image of a dove to show something so there could be testimony of such. He used a bird to bring back a limb in Noah's time to show that there was solid ground out there. It just wasn't an ocean. And there was a ground. So as I speak into this upcoming year, let us be a vessel. Let us be that little bird that God is going to use to show himself to somebody out there who's floating in an ocean of despair, floating in an ocean of hopelessness, floating in an ocean of rejected. Let him use you in this upcoming year so that he can magnify his love through you. And I'm going to say that he will use you. Not that he might, not that he may be, but he is going to use you in this upcoming year. The kingdom will grow because of you, God working through you. It's not me. It's God working through us. Let us be that vessel. Let us be that conduit. Let us say, here I am, Lord. Use me in this upcoming year so that you can be glorified, so that people will see you through us. And I thank you for that. And I thank him for each and every one of you. Because when we get up here, we get to look out here, we get to see a little bit of Jesus in each one of you. So bless you tonight.
Hello. I just kept hearing this scripture that says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with my loving kindness. And I feel even for this year coming, 2020, is that God is going to pour out his love like never before. And in that love, it's like an earthquake that will shake you to your very core. And that you will be able to receive and you'll be able to give love. And in that, you'll be able to walk in the freedom that God has called you to. We are going to encounter his love I know we've encountered his love, but God wants to take us deeper into that intimacy and to know this love and how he loved so much that he gave his son Jesus to come and to die for us, for our sins, and gave us this resurrection power, that there isn't anything that we cannot do in his love, because his love is power and his power is love. And so I just declare and I prophesy over us that we will receive
this amazing, crazy kind of love that we've never been able to put anywhere, and that you will know that you are not an orphan, but you are accepted, you belong, and you are part, and you're not a mistake, and your life is today changed and transformed. Let him love you. He wants to love you in the deepest way that you feared and you pushed away. It's not, we have to receive this love, and then we can give it, and this world, Tacoma, will not be the same. Your family will not be the same, and you will have eyes of love, and you won't look at things the way we used to look, but we're going to look with this love and acceptance, because we know we are accepted.
I wasn't going to come up here, but the Holy Spirit, and I've got Lauren on the other side of me, my little sister, I love her. Thank you, Lord, for her. As I was reading my word this morning and meditating and just pondering and taking time, because I just got through a season reading in the bell for the Salvation Army and what all the things they do. I'm like what you were saying, that the animals the food, it's not all about us, it's about what we can do for others and that giving. And so, but anyway, as I was pondering, and then Leah, you can talk about Joel. That's where I was at too. That's where God sent me at this morning. And I just want to read something that it was like, it just like the Lord was telling me, oh, sleepy, wake up your spirit, listen to me. And it says, a call to repent. That's why the Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your heart. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Don't tear your clothes in grief, but tear your heart instead. Return the Lord your God, for he's merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, and filled with unfailing love. He has such a love for us. And we just, sometimes we just get so caught up and busy in our own stuff, and we kind of just throw that time away. Says, oh, well, you know, I'll get to you guys here pretty soon. I'll get to you later, but it's now or never. So wake up your spirit, God. Let him wake you up. Like, I don't know who said, yeah, he woke me up at like 5 o'clock. I got to spend a lot of time with him, and I like when he wakes me up like that, because there's nothing else can distract me from him. So, yeah, just give this year, give him your time and your heart and your thoughts and your ways, because there's nothing on this earth that you can take to heaven with you except, you know, the ones you sow that you save and reach another and touch other people's heart. Love you.
It's an old habit, I suppose. When you say, God, I give you everything, and you have strings attached, and you're always kind of, whenever it's inconvenient or convenient, you kind of pull the strings back and you kind of take back what you said, or whatever it is that you gave to the Lord. And he reminded me of that again, just very, very recently, actually. And he said, you know what? I've got to trust him. And coming from someone who's worked most of my life professionally, always self-sufficient, letting go is really hard. But that's why I think it's called faith, because don't know what's going to be in front of you. You're trusting the Lord to guide you. It's almost, I have this thing that I used to say, I've got blind faith, literally, because I feel like when I'm following the Lord, I have no idea what's going to come. Maybe he gives me a little glimpse, but it still feels like I'm like, okay, God, is there a step? But God has never failed me. I always remember that he's never failed me. And his love endures forever, but it's just so easily accessible that I actually used to call it, I used to call myself having blind, stupid faith. And don't take this the wrong way. I'm not putting myself down. I'm just saying I make stupid decisions if I'm going by myself. So I'm saying, Lord, I want to follow you with blind, stupid faith, without my stupidity. But I guess that's my one thing where I feel like Allah's trying to take me in the upcoming new year is just fully letting go of everything. Just following him.
I hear the word double portions. The reason I think it came in double portions is because the first portion, sometimes I can put God in a box. But if I put him in a box on the first portion, there's no more room for the second portion. And then he comes overwhelming. And it gets to a place where, you know what? I don't have words to explain what God's going to do. I don't have words to describe how I feel. All I know is God is God. And he is very proud of each and every one of you.
Amen.
He is smiling upon you. And he's saying, you know, no matter what the society says, no matter what's going on in the world, come on, I love you.
Amen.
Come on, I love you. I knew that was going to happen. I love you. I love you. So don't worry about getting all the T's crossed and the I's dotted. Fall in love with Jesus.
Amen.
I just had a couple of things. Dennis was saying that God is going to use us, I was thinking that he is using us now too, and maybe that encouraged somebody. And when Marcia was speaking about God's love, I heard the words break free. And then when Deborah was talking, reading Joel and describing God, I heard the word gentle.
Amen. Did you have some, Katie? Okay. You came all the way up here. I didn't want you.
Because Dennis.
Oh.
Dennis forces me to do what God wants me to do. So people always tell me that I have a lot of faith, but like when I'm freaking out at home, I'm like, I don't have any faith. But like God was just telling me that he gives us a bunch of faith, but we have to, like, tap into it, basically. Like, it's there, but we choose whether we're going to use it or not. Like, and whenever I do, like, oh, I'm not going to worry about anything today. Like, I do feel more peace when I tap into the faith.
Amen. 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 Yeah. Perfect. Amen. I feel maybe a way to close off and end tonight is just to receive some of these words that were spoken over us, because especially towards the last third or so, as it really started emphasizing God's love for us.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing, and I'm guilty of this, it's easy for me to teach others about God's grace and God's love. It's a whole different thing to just receive it.
Yeah.
Say, God, not only do I need it, not only do I want it, but I receive it. You really do love me.
Amen.
I need to not let my intellectual brain fight with your grace, because it doesn't make human sense. But God, when you do something, you do it perfectly. And when you forgive, and I know that's the model Galea was referring to, he really forgives. And it's pretty hard for us, isn't it? You know, because we look at, well, that's wrong. Well, that person wronged me. Well, that's not right. Well, we've all wronged God. And, well, we were still at enmity with God. He loved us. So, Lord, I'm praying that over us. I'm speaking it over us. I'm speaking it over myself into my bones and the cells of my body and into the cells of everyone listening. You love us. You have chosen, as an act of your sovereign will, to love us. You don't need us. There's not some kind of give or take. No. God, you do this perfectly, selflessly, sacrificially, Jesus, as you proved on the cross. You love us. So we receive that tonight. And God, I pray that we get recharged, we get filled up. Lord, that we are ready for another year of being able to love others, being able to walk in this forgiveness and forgive others, being able to walk in this grace and have lives marked with grace and peace that passes all understanding, all earthly intellectualism. No, this is a heavenly peace. So I pray it over us right now. May it sink into our bones like oil. May it flow over us, and may it minister to everyone that we encounter. God, I thank you for the courage of the men and women in this room. I thank you that they have been willing to go first. They've been willing to stand before you, Almighty God, and say, start with me. So, Lord, I pray, as you have done that refining work, that you will charge us with your love. And it will change Tacoma. It will change our country. It will change our world. God, thank you for the history makers in this room. Protect that calling. Bless that original design. We will not quit. We will not give up. God, until your kingdom comes on earth like it is in heaven, we want to walk in more victories. Thank you for the victory of this last year. We're looking forward to another. God, thank you. You love us. We receive it in Jesus' name. The whole church together said, amen. Amen. Receive it. Good night, everyone. Thank you for tonight.
And on your way out, there are pies, pumpkin pies, on the table out there. Feel free to enjoy one.